Modabodaboyside lessons from the lathe Parshas Mishpatim Shabbos Reish Chodesh Adar Misha Nichlas Adar Marbid Misimcha. If for any month we needed Simcha, it is this month. Some say that Iyar is the month of Ani Hashem Rofecha. This should be the month as well, also of Ani Hashem Rofecha. We dedicate our shir for Refuah Shleima B'Soch Shar Chol Yisrael, for Shira Bas Tovar Aleya, Shira Shatkis, a friend who unfortunately is going through a very, very difficult medical situation. The Rabbanu Shalom should give chizuk to her family, to her great husband who has done so much to help so many during the COVID times. We should daven for all those who unfortunately are struck with this horrible, horrible disease. Should have a refuah shleima b'soch shar chol Yisrael. Someone commented to me that being stuck here in America should daven for me as well, that Ritz Hashem, Yeshua Hashem, Karefayin, I should be able to get out of this country, be able to see my family again. It's only 2.5 weeks, but right now things are a little iffy. But Hashem has his mysterious ways. Someone commented to me that when you're stuck with a snow day today, last week there were 2 snow days, and you start changing the channels on the TV that has 1,000 channels, 400 channels, whatever it might be, you can't help but notice the many channels that other religions have. And what seemingly seems like amazing orators that turn people on to their religion. And what's interesting is that many times there is a common theme. And I'm not going to delve into, God forbid, the ways of Christianity, but they often speak of the love of God. And I think that's something that our religion that bears mentioning time and time again, especially through a pandemic, especially during times that we question, and we can question, and it's important, as we spoke about in previous shorter lessons from the lathe, the idea of asking questions to Hashem is what our religion is about. That's what whole Manishtana is. But we sometimes forget the infinite love that our Creator has for us. And one idea that's brought out in our Parsha Mishpatim is that we, number one, first and foremost, recognize Ve'elo, that famous Vav, the Vav Achibor, the Deser B'Sadibros, wasn't given in a vacuum and involves a great amount of personal, interpersonal relationships, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, as is stressed here. In one Pasuk in Chaf Aleph Lamed Zayin, in our Parsha, we learn about Ki Yig Nav Ish Shor or Se. When a man steals an ox, he steals a sheep, he steals a goat, v'tabcho, and he slaughters it, o machro, he sells it, so he has to pay chamesh bakar yishalem tachas asher v'arba son tachas aser. So he has to pay 4 or 5. Of course, the Gemara deals with this. 5 if it's a cattle in place of the ox, and 4 if it's a sheep in place of the sheep. So he pays 5 cattle in place of an ox, 4 sheep in place of a sheep. Rashi comments, Omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Chas Hamakoim, Al Kvoidam Shel Briyos. He quotes in the name of Yochanan ben Zakkai that Hashem has pity on people's dignity. Why? Shor shehalach biraglov, on an ox that walks on its own feet, and through the thief was not humiliated by having to carry it on his shoulders, he pays 5. But a sheep that he has to carry on his shoulders, it's embarrassing, is humiliated through that, he pays less. This is quite a perplexing set of rules. And it seems to be quite unusual. A man steals a cow. He pays 5 times the amount of what he stole. However, a sheep, he pays only 4 times the amount. Rashi's answer and him being troubled and why this is that when a man steals a cow and he walks out to the barn, the cow's going by itself. But what do you have to do with the sheep? It's not going to follow you. To put it on your shoulders. It's degrading. Humiliating. The thief already suffers embarrassment by carrying the sheep. And the Torah, Rabbanu Shalom, is considering that punishment. The great Rosh Yeshiva of Chafetz Chaim, Chanuch Livowitz Atzal, commented that Rashi is difficult for us to understand. It's hard to imagine that this man is preoccupied with embarrassment. He's engaged in breaking and enter. You think he's thinking to himself the demeaning nature of carrying a sheep? No. He's thinking about how he can get out of there as quickly as possible. To illustrate this, says the great Rav Ben Sion Shaper, his shmooze. One of the tricks of a good pickpocketer is the bump and roll. He bumps your shoulder and reaches for your wallet. Your nervous system can only process one stimulus at a time. Therefore, when he nudges your shoulder, your attention is diverted to your shoulder, not feeling your wallet and you're being lifted from your pocket. So too a thief. If he's thinking about anything other than getting caught, it would be about tonight's dinner, happily carrying with him the delicious shawarma he's about to eat. Why would the Torah consider part of his punishment has been already received through the embarrassment of having to carry it on his back? The answer, says Rav Leibowitz, is understood by focusing on the relationship that we have with Hashem, or should have with Hashem. The Chovos HaLevavos speaks at great length about the basic facts of the relationship we have with Hashem. Hashem loves me more than I love myself. Hashem is more concerned for my good than I am. Hashem looks out for my interests more than I do for myself. This is the foundation of bitachon, says the Chovos HaLevavos. Without it, trusting in Hashem is foolish. If Hashem doesn't love me and doesn't even love me more than I love myself, then why do I believe he can help me and who will help me? How can I have the bitachon, the security in that? How would I be able to rely on Hashem if he doesn't care about me? How can I trust in Hashem if it's irrelevant to him? The only way any person can develop a true reliance on Hashem is by understanding that Hashem loves every one of his creations. To the extent that's beyond our human comprehension. And because of Hashem's infinite mercy, because of his infinite kindness to us, in knowing that I don't deserve anything, Hashem may give it to me anyway. Chovos HaLevavos continues that Hashem created us for one reason, to give to us. Hashem is magnanimous, loving, kindness. Hashem wants to show his goodness. Hashem doesn't need anything from us. Our tefillah to him is not a payback to him. It's not a burrowing up. Hashem lacks nothing. There's nothing we can give him. So why did Hashem make us? It's very simple. so that he could share his goodness with us. This is the only point that you need to know, says the Chovas HaLevavos, to understand. This is a one-way relationship. Hashem is the giver, we are not the giver. We are just the receiver. Says Rav Leibowitz, that it seems to be the answer to the question that we asked. The four, the five, the carrying of the sheep, you have to pay less because of the humiliation. It may well be that the thief is making his escape unaware of any embarrassment that it's caused to him. Any suffering. Nevertheless, it makes a deep impact within him. After all, he's human. All humans are created in the image of Hashem. Chavivim Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, says Pirkei Avos. As such, he has the same sensitivities and delicate nature of all human beings. He was created for greatness. And there is a part of him that cries out in pain when a mere animal is placed on his shoulders. Granted, while he's engaged in this act, he might be oblivious to that pain. But the pain is there nevertheless. It lives in him. It's imprinted on him, even if he's unaware of it. This is a powerful illustration of Hashem's compassion, even for someone who is deadened in his heart to pain. The heart still feels it. Hashem considers the pain significant and counts it as partial punishment for his crime. This point of Rav Leibowitz is even more salient because this man is clearly far away from being a tzaddik. This is somebody who veered off the Torah path. He's sneaking into his neighbor's barn, committing a terrible crime. Even so, Hashem has mercy on him. He feels his pain more than the thief does himself. What is this based on? As Chovas HaLevavos says, it stems from the love that Hashem has for us. To the extent he cares for our good is even greater than the extent we care for our own self. The thief doesn't think of what he's doing. This concept has a tremendous amount of applications. Says Rav Ben Sion Scheifer in the Shmuz that the relevance of this idea comes to a root in awakening when a person says, I've messed up. At various times in our life, we realize we've messed up. We will reach the clarity to understand that we're human. We are designed to have flaws and imperfections. With that recognition, we also have to come to a desire to correct them, and that, of course, is the source of tshuva. We have to be aware that Hashem has infinite love and patience that allows us to embark on the most difficult tasks and gives us, as humans, growth, change, and ultimately returning to Hashem. Returning to the one who loves us more than we can ever imagine. Because we all are created in His image. As Rav Aaron Soloveitchik would point out, Elokai Neshamabi, we wake up and say, Tahoirihi. We, as opposed to other religions, believe that we are not internally damned. We are born with the Tahor Neshama. Sometimes we just have to take out the Windex. And certainly we understand now everything's being cleaned. Take out the Lysol wipe and clean our neshamas. But this message of Hashem loving us has to be reiterated time and time again. Rapam explains the concept of love. It's hard for a child to understand the love that a parent has. It's unfathomable. You can't fathom what a parent would do. Often parents comment, Rachmana Litzlan, when their children are in the hospital, I'd rather be in this place. I would take it in a second. And isn't it interesting that often it's the child that has the greatest of needs, whether it's a special needs child or just a child that's a little bit more rambunctious. The parent loves the child even more, even though he has to deal with great sorrows in that child. Has to give it great care, maybe more than other children. That's the Ribbono Shel'olam to us. We're talking about a thief here. Baruch Hashem, we're not thieves. We're not people who steal. But we often discount and say, well, Hashem doesn't care. He's going to care about my specific situation. He cares that Daniel Hartstein's stuck in Teaneck, New Jersey and can't get out and it's snowing and then he doesn't have the Yeshua yet. He doesn't have, then he's got 3 bags of 70 pounds and how's he going to bring it back for his family? Yeah. You can't fathom how much Hashem loves us. A number of years ago, David Brooks spoke about a idea at the Hanukkah dinner. He's written, a famous writer, of course, for the New York Times. And in many of his writings, and specifically in one of the books that he's written, he speaks about the lonely man of faith of Rav Soloveitchik, and it's kind of funny almost, because he doesn't quote it as an article in The Atlantic, where he speaks about Adam 1 and Adam 2, and this Hanukkah dinner, he speaks about it as well, the two Adams, and in fact Bill Gates picked up on this when he turned 60 and read The Road to Character by David Brooks. And amazingly, Bill Gates quotes this concept from somebody named Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik. Adam 1, career-oriented, ambitious. He wants to have a high status and win victories. Adam 2, in contrast, has an internal focus. Adam 2 wants to be serene, an inner character. Quiet but solid sense of right and wrong. The ethical one. And in truth, this is the lonely man of faith. This is the whole concept. Sort of Soloveitchik writes, based on, of course, Bereishis, the majestic man, the creative faculties in order to master his environment, as mandated by Hashem. The second image of Adam, of Adam, is distinctly different. Contractual man who surrenders himself to the will of Hashem. Rav Soloveitchik describes how the man of faith must integrate both. But at this Hanukkah dinner, and obviously David Brooks does not espouse to be religious, but sometimes it's important to hear an idea that struck me. He says, how often is it do we daven, do we pray, and display great gushes of love? We're very good at doing the ritual. Mitzvah sanashim lamadim. We debate the law. We know how to tell over a great briskerov. A chefsa gavra of ochayim. A maharam chalawa. Yes, David Brooks didn't say this. But we neglect the love of tefillah. Do we start our Shemona Esrei ever, and before we start, say, wow, Hashem loves me. He's Avinu Malkeinu. I'm going to say, Slach Lanu Avinu. At the highest point of my sin, I say, Avinu, you're my dad, and therefore I know you love me. I gush with the love that I have for you as well. He opines that maybe the reason why Yahadus lacks more faithful people is because they need to show the love of Hashem, the love that we have for Hashem. Because once we know how much Hashem loves us and cares about us, everything that we do and wants us to return to Him, wow. How amazing it would be to return to the One that loves us so much. As we usher in the month that we need more than any time of the year, the month of Purim. You know, Purim, Rav Rosenblum says, is our Elul. Because it's either Nisan or Tishrei, Shnivra Olam, but they're both great times of focus. Rav Rosenblum said, especially in this time, we should understand that Erev Rosh Chodesh, a time where we generally have a custom to fast even half a day, to understand the Elul of Adar that is happening. But doesn't Purim show the love the Ribbono Shel Olam had for the Jewish nation? How time and time again, even after the time of the Tanakh, the book of Esther is added, Chanukah, and even after the second Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, Nisim v'Nefloyis by Yamim Ahim Bazman Hazeh, Medinas Yisrael, the reconquering of Yerushalayim. Do we recognize that when we say the words in Modim, V'al Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imonu, that every second Hashem loves us so much, He performs Nisim v'Nefloyis, even if we're the special children, even if we're the ones that aren't exactly the way that Hashem wanted us to be, not just for the tzaddikim, even for the robber, He says, come back to me now. Purim reminds us of that. Knesset Kol Yehudim, come back to me. Yes, there is a life lesson here. There's a life's lesson during the times of COVID. But we have to understand the powerful illustration of Hashem's compassion. Even for a man who is deadened in his heart of pain and doesn't get it, we have to get it. We have to understand the messages of the difficult pandemic that we are in. The difficulty on one hand of having the highest rate in the world of vaccinated individuals and not letting its citizen in because they're so scared that so many are sick. We zeicha to accept this month. Mishenichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. May it be a month that we see the Yeshuas, the one that loves us so very much. The one is just here trying to get us to understand that love, to get closer to Him. May be zeicha to love and gush the love back to Him. May we rebuild the third Beis HaMikdash b'meher v'yameinu and see Yeshuas and Refuas for all of Klal Yisrael. Amen v'amen.